Everyone knows that. I'm not even supposed to be talking right now, but I am. I'm just trying to hear myself. So, Miss Linda's getting ready. It's the stage is hers right now.
I'm first.
You go,
up.
Mama.
Okay, I'm first up. Okay, this song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" If you're old like me, you know that the verses are way different on here, as I've heard through country music, mainly through that, like Old Grand Ole Opry plays it a lot. And they say, like, the verse is similar to this, probably not the exact words, but he says, "Undertaker, please drive slow, 'cause that's my mother, for you're carrying her home." Now, some people may think that's kind of dreary, but isn't it hope to think that we're going to get to see them again?
Man,
such hope.
Man.
And to us, to Gary and I both, Acts 8 is about hope. Okay? That's how we look at it. It's about hope. And there's other things, and we're going to bring that out, but I may not be as funny as I am on Tuesday, but but anyway. And we also have another Bible study sometimes on Tuesdays early in the morning, and that's when I kind of get out of line, but okay, I'm going to pick on Brandon. Yeah.
Amen.
Because he gave us this little thing that we got to go by. Number one, it says paint the picture of the entire chapter. I don't paint. I can give you an overview in words. Okay. And so here it is.
All right.
Acts 8 was written by Luke around 35 A.D., somewhere in there. Don't know exactly, but anyway. Chapter 8 begins with the persecution of the church at Jerusalem. Reading on in the chapter, we hear the story of Philip as he ministers to a sorcerer and an Ethiopian. Gary is gonna make all of that real clear in just a few minutes.
Crystal clear.
Okay, and the second thing is, what just happened in the previous chapter? Well, I guess you should have been here last week. Yeah, because you missed it, and I don't know what to say. No, I do know what to say. I do know what to say. Okay, at the end of Acts 7, Stephen was ministering the gospel and was stoned to death for what he had done, what he said. People just didn't like it. They just didn't like it. He was the first martyr of the New Testament. He died because he preached that our hearts are not the building, but are the true tabernacle of God. Oh, my mouth is so dry. I'm sorry. So that's what happened in chapter 7. And of course, Gary's going to get into it a little further. Okay, the last one, number 3, was how does this tie into the current chapter? Well, I'm going to tell you real quickly. Throughout Acts 8, Philip's ministers as Philip did in Samaria, the message of our Savior Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to read, and guess what I'm going to read from? I'm going to read from the Message Bible. Because down here in this paper that Brandon gave us, says we need to learn to be storytellers. Oh, I can tell a story. No, I can do that. But this book right here is nothing love a story. The Message Bible tells you everything you need to know in a story form, and I like that. So here we go. I'm going to read, and by the way, I'm going to back up here. I just had to say that. That's a big deal on our Tuesday morning Bible study. We're going back up here. So here it goes. Acts 8, 1 through 8. Saul was right there. And if my don't follow yours, guess what? I've got a message. Okay. Saul was right there congratulating the killers. That set off a terrific persecution of the church in Jerusalem. The believers were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. I've been having trouble with that word all day, haven't I? What have I been saying, Gary?
Two or three different words.
No, I've been saying Samaria.
It was never Samaria.
It was never that.
Samaria.
And I knew what I was saying. Okay. All that is, but the apostles... Oh, I wanted to say something real quick. He's going to get me. But there is a difference between an apostle and a disciple. Okay? God, back in when Danny Plowman was here, he talked about how God had appointed apostles. Okay? A disciple is a learner. They hadn't quite learned everything 100%. But your apostles are now ready to go out and minister, okay? So the difference between an apostle and disciple, you got a learner and one that's already done the studying and already learned. So we want to hear from the apostles. Acts is the Acts of Apostles, okay? Okay, now where did I go?
That rabbit trail.
Mm-hmm. All that is but the apostles. Good and brave men buried Stephen, giving him a solemn funeral. Not many dry eyes that day. That was a sad day, wasn't it? And Saul went wild. He just went crazy, devastating the church, entering house after house, dragging men and women off to jail, forced to leave home base, and the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. Whenever they were scattered, they preached the message about Jesus. Going down to a Samaritan city, Philip proclaimed the message of the Messiah. When the people heard what he had to say and saw the miracles, the clear signs of God's actions, they hung on his every word. Many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The evil spirits protested loudly as they were sent on their way, thank goodness, and what joy in the city.
Amen.
It's your turn.
I knew she'd tell me when it was my turn. I was patiently waiting. Thank you, Miss Wallace. That is wise. That won't be the last time you hear Miss Wallace tonight, though. She's got some more. The last line of Acts was verse 8. There said the gospel brings joy. The gospel does bring joy wherever it might be preached. It's all good. The church in the first century, I think just like today, had a lot of issues to solve and resolve. The people in the first century, they were still trying to figure out if they wanted to build this big elaborate building with gold and all kinds of gems all over it. And they did. Did they want to erect that kind of a building to honor God and to worship Him in? They thought the bigger the better. And that would show just how big God is. We got a big building. It's nice. Look here how big our God is. Well, that's all well and good. But the scripture tells us And I want Linda to read in Isaiah, from Isaiah 66. Read the first two verses there.
Again, this is the Message Bible. This is God's message. Heaven's my throne. Earth is my footstool. What sort of house could you build for me? What holiday spot have you reserved for me? I made all of this. I own all of this. But there is something I'm looking for. A person simple and plain, reverently responsive to what I say, who would tremble at my word.
Amen. God wasn't looking for the big house. Looking for the, some scripture says, a contrite heart. The God's looking for people. To some in the first century, the church. There it is. Okay.
Here, turn that off. Let me get it quick.
She turned it off on me. She's trying to trick me. All right. I understand. Okay. Continuing on. To some in the first century, the church was a building, or people sitting in a building on the pews, or even people in different buildings around the city, all over the town. None of this is the real church. Today, you need to put that in there. Where's the... technical difficulties. But that's not going to keep the gospel from going forward. It'll go forward. At least nobody's stoning us yet.
You're good to go.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. The church today should be a supernatural institution founded on Jesus Christ himself. Should be a gathering of God's people. The Bible tells us we should gather. The people should be filled with the Spirit of God at the ready to go minister when and where they're called to do so. They can do this because they are filled with the Spirit. We heard Linda read Acts 1 through 8. Philip reached Samaria or Samaria or whatever that place is. And the people saw healings and miracles as well as casting out of demons. There was great joy. There was great joy after this happened. But miracles alone do not bring salvation to the people. The gift of salvation comes when we are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And then up until that point, no one had even received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As Philip continued ministry in Samaria, he met a man named Simon. Simon was a sorcerer. And the scripture didn't say he was a bad guy. He just believed some different stuff. And he wanted everybody to think that he had the great power of God. The people believed Philip, however, as he ministered the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ, and many were baptized. Simon himself was even baptized. He knew he better keep going on that track and following the right track, even though he wanted to be the show himself. That's not the way to minister. Nobody is an island unto themselves. Is that the way that goes? Now, Peter and John, they were back in Jerusalem as we continue on in the chapter. And they were going to go down to Samaria to meet up with Philip and minister. And they're the ones that came to pray for the folks to lay hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Because as we know, the Holy Spirit is the power behind salvation. Amen. Sister, you're doing good for me. You keep up your amen. But when Simon saw this, he got excited. This is what happened. I want Linda to read Acts 8, starting with about chapter 18, or verse 18, I'm sorry.
Okay, it says, when Simon saw the apostles by merely laying on hands conferred the Spirit, he pulled out his money, excited, and said, sell me your secret. Show me how you did that. How much do you want? Name your price.
Simon was a capitalist, I guess you could say. He was gonna pay for this and make money on it. That's what he wanted. But the free gift of salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit are the free gifts of God. He'll never charge you a dime for them. But Philip wasn't done yet, however. An angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him to keep going south down toward Gaza, the scripture said. Philip, of course, obeyed. And he met, the scripture says, a man of authority. And I don't like the word eunuch, you know. When you say it, it sounds like it doesn't go good. I don't know. But that's what this eunuch was. He was a man of authority. So I'm going to use a man of authority under the queen, Candace of Ethiopia. He had taken the queen to Jerusalem to worship, and he was headed back to pick her up. He was reading his Bible, the scripture says. He was reading Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 7. And I want Linda to read that. Isaiah 53, verse 7.
7-9. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered. Like a sheep being sheared. He took it all in silence. Justice miscarried. And he was led off. And he did any one really know, or did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought of his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true.
The man of authority was reading this, and Philip came up to him, and he asked him if he understood what he was reading. The man said, how can I unless someone guides me? And apparently he had never heard, and just like a lot of other people, had never heard of Jesus, this Jesus, the message of the gospel. He asked Philip to help him, and Philip ministered Jesus to him through that scripture, told him what that scripture was really saying. After this, they came to some water, and the man asked if he could be baptized. The word of God was so powerful. Philip just explained that scripture to him. He immediately said, I got to be baptized. First time he saw water. Let's get down there. I got to be baptized. Philip said to him, if he believed with all his heart that he could be baptized. The man said he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They stopped right there, and both of them got in the water, and they were baptized. Now, I want to read the last two verses of Acts 8, if you'll bear with me. I should have had this open, but I didn't. But that's all right. We got plenty of time. A couple of hours, and we'll have this done.
Got it.
I know. I got a marker in here somewhere. All right. Acts 8. This was great. Studying this was so good. Acts 8. starting with verse 39. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Chapter 8 of Acts is all about ministry and the salvation of God. And Philip was just walking along one day. This guy's in the chariot. He takes the opportunity, ministers to him, baptizes the man. What happens? God said, you're through here. You need to go somewhere else. And he translated him somewhere else. Woo. And I tried to make sense of that, and I tried to, you know, ask myself, why was that? Why did it happen? And I don't know. There might be a good reason, but I didn't study it long enough to find it out. That got too deep for me, I guess. I just want to think that, just like I said, his ministry at that point, at that place was done, and God said, you're done here. I need you over here, this other place. Yeah. Are we that close to God? Ever? I don't know if I am. I know I'm not. Because where he can just not even ask you, just take you somewhere else. And you know what to do after you get there. If you know God that close, you do. But if you'll bear with me for a few more minutes, I'd like to show you one more thing. Because we're through with Acts chapter 8. And what happened is that ministry just continued. Okay? That's what it was in the last two chapters. Ministry just continued. And that's what I got out of studying this whole thing. Just ministry, 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 ministry. One to another. Stephen was stoned to death, and what happened? They gave him a good burial, nice burial. They kept on ministering. That's what you need to do. Because the circle.
I'm just going to say,
well, I'll cry. She's going to talk.
Doing this together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is great. We did. I couldn't hardly type it out. I was crying the whole time. I've got my rope here tonight. Does anybody know about how much length the rope that is right there? A foot, that's close. How much? That's close. It's 17 inches. That rope between those knots is 17 inches. Now, what I'm going to say about this is all about that 17 inches. 17 inches, in fact, is the width of the home plate in baseball. Yes, it is. You knew I couldn't stay with the scripture. You knew I couldn't. We're through. We're done. I read the last two verses. We're done. Okay, yeah. Well, a baseball coach, I can't take credit for this. I've read this a couple of times. A baseball coach brought this out trying to teach his players life lessons. So I'm borrowing it from him to put in the lesson tonight.
Right.
So the coach brought out that 17 inches is all the room that you have at home plate to throw the ball. You throw it between this hand and this hand, 17 inches. And that's from 60 feet, 6 inches away, which is out the front door out here. Yeah. Somebody standing out on the porch out there has got to throw a baseball and get it between here, okay? And the coach brought out that was all the room that you had to have it called a strike. This standard applies no matter if you're a sandlot kid. I used to play sandlot ball all the time out in the backyard. Get all the kids in the neighborhood, play baseball. That's all we ever did. We were 5, 6 years old up to, because you couldn't play organized ball back then like Gage. You know, we didn't play till we was 12 or 13. They didn't have organized ball when I was a kid. You know how long ago that was? That was a long time ago. But the standard applies to the Sandlot guys, the Little League boys, they're a little older, college kids, same, 17 inches, plate never changes. The standard never changes. Major League Baseball, 17 inches, that's all you got. From 60 feet, 6 inches away, you got to throw the ball in there. All of these are held to the same standard, from old to young. Each is held to that same standard. Well, some folks might say, guy's having a hard time throwing the ball. He's throwing a lot of balls, not getting a lot of strikes, so let's widen that plate. We know what that would cause. It'd make it easier to throw a strike, but it would only cause that person that's throwing the ball not to have to work as hard to get the same result. So I guess my message is work on getting the ball into the 17 inches. Okay. I knew y'all couldn't get that. I had to explain that to you. Good results come only from hard work. And we all do know that. All do know that. Now, to apply this standard to the ministry, which I told you I was going to do that, and I've tried hard to do that because I love baseball, so I wanted to stay on baseball. I do have another scripture, however. See? Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 14. I'm going to read it here, and then I want her to read it. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life. And few there be that find it.
Wow.
That's the King James Version, probably. And it probably says leadeth.
Yeah.
I put leads in there. I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm paraphrasing. He's going to get me after. He say, you didn't say leadeth. Read that also from the Message Bible. I love it, the way it says it in here.
It says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention.
Matthew 7, verse 14. That was good. If you want to succeed in your life, you must work hard and do the right thing. I know that sounds pretty simple, but there's a lot of folks out there, I know the way they're living and what they're doing sometimes, they can't be working hard, and they're sure not doing the right thing. And I'm not getting on anybody's case because I'm that guy too sometimes. See how I bang on the microphone? Bang on the door sometime, and the pastor probably send me a bill for that. You must put your life through this 17 inches. And when I wrote that down, I thought to myself, I said, Gary, can you fit through this 17 inches? I don't know if I fit either way. I don't know if I can, but you know what I mean. We got to put our lives through, because that's not going to be widened. The path's not going to be widened to God. No one's going to make it easier for you to get there. And you say, God's a good God. He is a good God, and that's why, sister, that he won't just say, well, you can't get through there, Gary. You're too fat. Let me open it up for you. No. Are you messed up three or four times? Well, come on in anyway. You know, he wants you to think about it and do right. You must adhere to whatever the rules require of you to be successful. And a rule in baseball is you got to throw the ball in the 17 inches. and I know some of you baseball guys, the strike zone is not just 17 inches wide. It's up and down also, right? Okay. Boy, y'all are smarter than I thought. My sister knows baseball. I love it. All right. I know. She's learned a lot from Gage. Okay. God controls that part up and down. Yeah, he controls that part. Or that's what I make out of it. If you're good enough to hit this 17 inches, but you're too high, God will allow you to do that. But making this choice might put you in trouble. For instance, your neighbor needs you. Okay? And you know that they need help, and they've been needing help for a long time. But you don't immediately go over to your neighbor's house. You wait until your other neighbors are outside. And then, I got to go over here to help my neighbor now. How y'all doing? I'm helping my neighbor. See me? You know? My neighbor. I've got people in my neighborhood that do that. Yeah, they do that everywhere. You're showing off. You're not doing the work of God. No. That's called high and mighty, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the high part of the strike zone. You missed it. God knows you missed it. You ought to know you missed it. Then let us say you're the person that every time the doors are open, you're here at church. But your time away from church, by yourself, you're watching every movie that's got sex and violence in it. You got them stacked up on the CDs over here. Now, that's the low, sister. I'm sorry. I knew this is going to be terrible, but I had to bring out the point here. That's low. That's low, Brother Charlie. That's low. That's the low ball. God knows that you're out of the strike zone there, too. He controls the high and the low. You're responsible, just like you are for the 10 in the countdown. You're responsible to get it in the 17 inches. And you try to keep it not too high or not too low, okay? And I know y'all been waiting for this. The last thing I want to say is to keep working hard on your salvation, because the standard is going to be the same no matter how long you live. Always try to hit this 17 inches without being too high or too low. But if you are, God is a very fair umpire. Thank you for putting up with us tonight. We enjoyed this. We enjoyed doing this as much as anybody. So,
wow.
And some of it even made sense, I think. And we covered what Brandon wanted. We got him satisfied. We went by the structure he wanted. I knew he'd be happy about that.
I am. Absolutely.
Thank y'all so much. Y'all are always so supportive. Thank you, sister.